We are Michael Veazey in London, England.
Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
More importantly, you are the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be. We're here to get you there. Let's jump in.
For many e-commerce sellers, in the beginning, there was eBay. And then Amazon created a terrific opportunity for many of us. And since then, so many marketplaces have popped up. In this episode, we're going to talk about the e-commerce marketplace wars. And let me just break down a little bit of the information, Michael, and then we can jump into it together. According to Digital 360, $2 trillion was spent in 2019 on the top 100 e-commerce marketplaces. Now, they rank the top global e-commerce marketplaces as Taobao, Tmall, Amazon, JD.com, and eBay. Now, three out of the five there are Chinese-based, and then two are U.S.-based. And then in the U.S. specifically, they rank the top five as Amazon, eBay, Walmart, Wish, and House. We've got a lot of options here. And even to add to that, I think what we want to talk about a little bit today is the fact that Google just announced a new program they're rolling out, Google Shopping Actions, and Facebook has just announced a new program that they're rolling out called Facebook Shops. So, Michael, give us your opening thoughts on all of this. What are your clients talking about at the 10K Collective, and what is your perspective on all of these opportunities?
Wow. I mean, first of all, it's interesting times we live in, right? Which is a traditional Chinese curse. It's so interesting to me. First, I didn't know that three of the biggest five are in China. And I suppose what that implies is there's huge opportunity there if you can break in. And I know some Western brands can do incredibly well in China, but that's a bit of a tricky one. So I'm going to park that one as a really hard nut to crack, but an interesting one day, right? So you can't ignore the size of that. But in terms of the Western-based ones, or, you know, US, UK, and Europe, and even Japan, what I'm seeing is there's a sort of convergence between different tech operators who are converging on some of the same spaces because Facebook's realized that it's part of the customer journey and it wants to have a bigger part of the customer journey. So it's incredibly successful as an advertising and discovery platform for a lot of Shopify business owners, for example. And Google obviously is where Amazon already gets a lot of its traffic. So pre-Amazon part of a shopping funnel, often people go directly to Amazon these days to shop for e-commerce products, but often they still use Google. So it makes logical sense to me that they would do it. The other thing is obviously the trend that retailers, as people who specialize in that, like Walmart, are aggressively developing the online sales channel, as it's not just a small but growing percentage of the market now. It's actually a significant percentage. And of course, it's hugely shot up during COVID. So I think that there was a logic that it was going to happen in a sense. I'm kind of surprised it's taken Google and Facebook so long to get around to it. But it's certainly interesting to see, but kind of I see there's a certain inevitability about it, really. What about your thoughts? What do you advise your clients to do in a practical way? Because it's such a huge topic. Where do we even start?
It is a huge topic and tons of change is happening. You're right. You mentioned Walmart. That wasn't on the short list there in my intro, but certainly coming on so strong. They've got a massive operation that they can bring to the e-commerce party. And of course, that's their goal. And I'll also just mention, you mentioned COVID, you know, sort of watch the COVID winners, you can call it, in terms of the companies that are succeeding because of the changes. And Target in the U.S. is, and their e-commerce operation has scaled massively in the last few months and shot up incredibly well. And Walmart, of course, is giving a real run for the money to Amazon, I think, these days in terms of their effort towards pushing into e-commerce. Okay, so yeah, to answer your question, you know, when we work with a client, a lot of times we'll have clients that have done really well on eBay or Amazon, and they're looking for a diversification. They're looking to go omni-channel, which is the phrase many formal corporate types use for multi-channel selling. And I think the first question we always ask them is, you know, why do you want to do a second marketplace? If it's a Shopify site that they want to build out, or if they want to switch from, you know, just Amazon into Amazon and Walmart, why do they want to do that? And so that's a question. The second question is, should you even be on the marketplaces, or should you just sell exclusively through your website? Pros and cons both ways on that one. It's not a simple yes, be everywhere all the time. If you've got a real special opportunity, then selling on one platform, and maybe it's your own, is certainly a viable way forward. And it's not to be discounted or shunned as a concept. Third question is, we ask them is, what is the risk versus reward going to look like? Is there a real opportunity in the marketplace you want to go into that you think you can reasonably, you know, achieve or accomplish? We sadly see some people go into a marketplace and they see little or no success. You know, I mean, it doesn't perform for them at all. And they've spent all that energy, all that time, all that effort. So you really have to evaluate what your opportunity looks like on these marketplaces. And then I would say the final question I would ask people is, what is the state of the competition in your niche or industry? And is your competitor really super strong on one marketplace that you're not on? And if so, then do you go into that marketplace or do you avoid that marketplace? And you've got to play that chess game with your competitors. And so I think those are four questions. And I do ask clients, and it helps them think through kind of their own personal use case for it.
Yeah, those make a lot of sense to me. They're really good questions because they're strategic, non-channel specific questions, which I think are really good. I mean, the two things that strike me that are really good about this is, I think do you need to be on everywhere, which is so tempting. I guess the obvious answer to the question why is more sales, but more sales doesn't necessarily mean more profit or defensible future sales, right? So I think sometimes people confuse the idea of sales channels, like lots and lots of sales channels, which may mean a horrific job at the back end of coordinating inventory and sending them around. I mean, that can get very complicated very quickly, instead of which you might want to think in terms of one sales channel and multiple marketing or traffic channels. I mean, I'm not saying, ironically, I'm saying this in where we're discussing the possibility of multiple sales channels, but I do think you're right. It has to be approached very strategically. The other thing that strikes me is the simple question of, when you've really defined who you are and who you exist for, who your clients are, your customers, where are they? Because if they're 18 to 24 year olds, they're probably not on Facebook, for example. So it may not make sense to just because Facebook shops are available to use them. So those are the two things that strike me.
Yeah, I think you're totally right with that. I guess what I would say is that your primary question you've got to ask yourself is, what kind of business do you want to be? Now, the multi-channel or omni-channel strategies, those are big games to play, that are complicated games to play. And so it does kind of get back to your core goal. Do you want to just make a low seven figure sales number and good net profit margin opportunity and have a good time? Or are you looking to build a real big company? And therefore, then the omni-channel strategy might be more appropriate. And this is unique and different for every e-commerce operator. So there's no foregone right answer. But what do you see in your 10K Collective in terms of the risk or worry that single platform sellers, you know, you're Amazon focused in many ways with that group. You see a lot of them stressing over the just single platform approach they've taken, or your thought on?
The simple answer is yes. I think all Amazon business owners, and I suppose that's a phrase that is common, but it's an absurd phrase, isn't it? Because does Amazon own the business or do we? Well, I guess the answer is, if you depend 100% on Amazon for your sales channel and your fulfillment channel and your marketing channel, kind of it owns a lot of the power over it. Just like if you own a property, but the bank has 90% of the mortgage. Well, you know, if you try not paying your mortgage for a couple of months, you'll find out who really owns it. So there is a very good reason to consider that. And I think that's a very valid reason to having more than one channel, whether it's another marketplace or whether in fact you want to have more control and have a Shopify store or something. That is another question. And it seems to me that amongst the more advanced Amazon sellers that I deal with, the answer is often not another marketplace, but to actually have Amazon plus your own store and then use not so much marketplaces as in sales channels, but marketplaces for traffic, especially Facebook ads, to drive traffic to there. So that's what I actually see people doing mostly.
Yeah. And we work with a lot of clients that are following that path. I mean, it's a pretty logical path. Build your own, you know, Shopify site out in support of your primary sales channel. And you end up with a primary and a secondary sales channel approach. And that's really common. Yeah.
And I think the other thing is that if you're on somebody else's land and that's stressing you out completely correctly, you know, to some degree, yeah. But it is a mental burden, I think, if your family's income is dependent on or multiple people, if you're employing a lot of people, then to me, it doesn't make a great deal of sense as your first, you know, your second move, as it were, to diversify, being to build on yet another person's land. I mean, Facebook is no better at shutting people's Facebook ads down than Amazon is. It's worse, and it seems very quick to do that. So, and they're also in the firing line politically. So, for example, Facebook or Google may become in the firing line. So I think in terms of de-risking, it doesn't make so much sense. In terms of a diversification and getting really big business, it makes more sense to me. So So let's talk about Google for a second. Actually, we sort of gloss over it a lot of the time in the Amazon business, but it's actually still just a hugely dominant force online. It's where a lot of people make discoveries of anything from products to ideas of products that they may future buy. What's your thought about the shopping actions announcement? Is that a potential game changer, or is it just another tweak?
No, you know, I think it is another advancement towards their goal. And I think the landscape for Google has changed over time. Obviously, they've created one of the most profitable things in the world in terms of their search kind of dominance. They are a monopoly in this space. They are the go-to thing you use to find something, a discovery tool on the internet. And when they did their first foray into e-commerce, in a lot of ways, was the Google Shopping ads. I mean, they had text ads and they had display ads before that. And those would always drive, to your point, like Amazon. Or Amazon was a massive, they were the largest client, I believe, for Google advertising for the first like 10 years or something. That was their first foray into it, was the Google Shopping ads, which allowed them to display product, an actual product that you could then click on and go and buy. And so for a lot of our clients, we help them set up Google Shopping ads, and it's a great tool for, you know, if you sell on your Shopify site. But then the next iteration of that, what many people aren't even familiar with this, is they did something called Surfaces Across Google, which was really sort of an unpaid placement of your product. It was not an ad because it was not paid product, but it was a listing in essence that was free. And so that expanded their reach into the space, the e-commerce space. And then now this Google Shopping Actions announcement is really the ultimate step, or another step in their journey. And this step, if you're not familiar with what Google Shopping Actions are, we'll have links below in the show notes that can take you into learning more about it. But it's basically they're creating a shopping cart tool that will be a universal Google shopping cart that will then be used across their system and platform. And to me, this is part of their big picture strategy, which is they are going to monetize more and more of the traffic that they already own. And why would they send it to your Shopify store if they can just arrange things so that the customer is happily, situation is resolved, their needs are met, all within the universe of Google, you know, in their walled garden. And this is the big game for them, I think, is how do they get a cut of the e-commerce action in their system? And ultimately, what I think as sellers, what this means is, we're going to be treating Google like an affiliate partner if we use this. We'll set it up. They have a breakdown of the cut that they will take from various niches and industries when they sell your product for you through their shopping cart. And they'll really handle then the discovery part and the presentation of the product and the checkout. And you'll handle fulfillment. So this is the latest thing. And it could be a massive game changer. It is a little bit of Google eating the internet. And if it works for them, man, I mean, it could turn Google into a direct competitor against Amazon. And it's fascinating.
Yeah, I have to say, if I were Jeff Bezos, quite naturally, Google would be the people that would worry me the absolute most. Walmart would also worry me because Google is the dominant expert in search and discovery. And in a way, they are two of the same things. They are keyword-driven search engines, right? And what happens next is different at the moment, but the beginning thing, and Walmart is experts at moving physical widgets around and selling them to people and having logistics. And so it's interesting. Those to me feel like the big pincer movement. Let's just talk quickly about this. Do you think it's good or bad, or is it something we need to worry about? Is it something we can exploit fearlessly, or is it like Amazon, something to be treated with caution as a sort of double-edged sword?
Well, the first question is, whose side could you potentially be on, and who's the enemy, and, you know, who is warring in this war? And it's clearly, in that situation, it's clearly Google creating a system for non-Amazon websites, you know? So there's sort of this, it would be this ragtag coalition of non-Amazon sellers that would use the Google Shopping Actions functionality that would, in essence, treat Google as their leader, and they benefit from the Google e-commerce system. And so, you know, so if you're a hardcore Amazon seller and that's all you do, you really would have to go back and say, okay, wait, I need a Shopify site, and I need to, if I'm going to be in that universe, I need to do a few other cursory things. To me, the hidden tool behind all of this on both the Google Shopping Actions and also Facebook Shops, which we'll talk about, I think, in the show. The hidden tool or gem behind those is a Shopify site. So I think ultimately, Shopify sellers are going to win more and more in this new landscape, I think. And is it good or bad? I guess it depends on which side of those conversations you're on. Well, let's talk about Facebook Shops a little bit. So what are your reflections on Facebook Shops, this new announcement? Many people haven't even heard of this yet. So this might be literally breaking, you know, news to people who are listening to this. But we'll have, again, links and show notes, that kind of thing. So
interesting. That's very, very interesting. Yeah, it's hard to make sense of these different things, isn't it? There are so many options. Yeah, well, Mark Zuckerberg announced stuff about this in sort of late May, and he put the spin on it. It was very much about helping small businesses in the time of COVID, which is quite smart PR. But I think I know you've got some thoughts about why they're doing it. I think my first instinct is that even for Amazon sellers, if you've got another sort of channel skill, not necessarily sales channel, but marketing channel, then it's normally Facebook ads. And also, I've seen some great successes from one of the members of the 10K Collective who's working with a client to run Facebook ads to their Shopify store, and it's actually blown up their Amazon sales as well. It's been extraordinarily successful. So it makes sense that if you understand Facebook and how that platform works, that you consider tacking on Facebook Shops to the channel, so that I guess it's an integrated experience. And I guess that's their selling point, right? If you're good at Facebook ads, you want a sort of native Facebook experience. Obviously, the detail isn't very certain. It's being fleshed out. The other thing about Facebook that fascinates me is, compared to Amazon, it's very demographic oriented, and they're very generous. In fact, obsessed with sharing that with you as an advertiser, because up till now, anyway, that's been their main monetization, of course, which is very refreshing, because on Amazon, definite about the fact that they're your customers and you're borrowing them. So they're Amazon's customers, rather, and you're borrowing them very temporarily. And so you get very little detail. So that's my initial thoughts. I mean, what do you think's going on? And above all, you got some thoughts about what's driving Facebook, which interests me from the big picture. What do you think about that?
Sure. Yeah. And just to mention one little bit about it, the Facebook Shops announcement is basically that Facebook will be creating a shopping cart that will allow for across their ecosystem, Instagram, WhatsApp, you know, these Facebook Messenger, and then obviously Facebook, it'll allow a shopping cart experience so that sellers can tap in, again, in partnership with Shopify. So that's sort of the nuts of and bolts of it. But I will say that I think Shopify is in its own unique universe. I wrote an article for Grawhill blog a few months back, and it was really popular and got quite a bit of mention and kind of resharing. And the title was, "Is Facebook the Yellow Pages of 20 Years Ago?" And by Facebook, I meant specifically the Facebook tool, the social media component of Facebook, not the company itself. And, you know, I think Facebook as a social media platform has been on this journey where they realized 5-6 years ago that the demographics were leaving them, the younger demographics, you know, and it was skewing towards an older and older demo. And so obviously they bought Instagram for that reason, or other reasons as well. And they've built a company that has a huge reach, but the core product, the Facebook social media platform, I think has developed over the years with, I think, what people would call a negative social impact. And I don't think that's disparaging them or anything like that. I think it's obvious to everyone that there is a toxic waste component to being on there, almost like nuclear action or something. There's a byproduct of it that's sort of toxic. And I think Facebook is smart enough to know they have to find a redeeming business proposition to hang the Facebook social network on that cannot be ad-driven. And I believe that's at the heart of it, because the ad-driven model is literally allowing a war of thoughts and ideas. It has become such a polarizing and toxic place. Chamath Haliapatiya is one of the original executives that scaled Facebook. You can check him out on YouTube. He's interviewed a ton of times. And he says, in essence, Facebook is ripping apart the fabric of America, or something, you know, along those lines. So I think Facebook is on a journey. And I think this idea of moving towards e-commerce could fulfill part of their need as a company. And do they kill Craigslist, I guess? Do they have Craigslist in the UK? Is Craigslist a common thing there?
It exists. It's not really a thing that anyone ever tends to talk about or use very much, strangely.
Yeah, okay. in the US, it's pretty popular. So Facebook has been on this journey where they made a marketplace, and that was kind of like, it turned into kind of like this local, hey, I got an old tractor, I'll sell you for $3,000. And it turned into some version of a Craigslist replacement. And I just think that they're leaning into that now with this new announcement. So, you know, I think those are some of my initial thoughts. And we'll see where it goes. You know, we'll see where it goes. Yeah.
Interesting. It's interesting to get the American perspective on this, because I guess in the UK, I mean, obviously Facebook has been pretty toxic because Brexit, you know, if I may mention a bit of politics without coming down one side or the other on it, has been a polarizing force in the UK, like lots of polarizing things going on in America right now. But I have to say that Facebook was really big on that. And I played my part in that and just thought, what am I doing getting involved in all these negative conversations, and kind of left it alone. But I'm not sure there's such a negative perspective here, which is interesting. So I guess that Facebook is in the end an American hosted company, if you like. It lives in America, and it has to be subject to the American political mood music. So that's very interesting to get a sense of where that's going. And I think
it's going towards their eventual deconstruction. I do think it's probably realistic to say that the federal government will break apart Facebook, because I think it does damage in people's eyes, and I think it will be a broken apart company. Now, that means, is that good or bad? I don't know. It means you would have to be an advertiser and a e-commerce seller on Instagram as a unique property, on Facebook as a unique property, and WhatsApp or whatever. So I think those are eventualities that could occur. It's just a different place to work as an e-commerce seller. And you just have to factor that in. Now, you know, obviously it's got massive traffic and huge, huge, huge opportunities for us. But these are the things that you got to, you know, think through.
Yeah, interesting to see the bigger picture, which I think what we're looking at here that often doesn't get addressed.
So let me ask you, you know, kind of wrap up questions. What do you think is going to be the state of the union moving forward? And then I'll also just ask you, are there any cautionary issues or concerns that you see in all of this changing landscape?
Well, the state of the union is an interesting phrase, because obviously it's an American phrase. And I think that what we're seeing right now is that Facebook is a very, very global company. So is Amazon. So is Google, famously, has no kind of physical limitations because they don't have to have warehouses in different countries like Amazon does. But in the end, they are American companies, and the primary stakeholders, no, that's not the right word. The primary people they got to keep their eye on is the federal government as one of the big drivers. And the other thing is in the United States, in terms of tax, for example, with Amazon. So I think that in the end, US domestic politics is going to drive quite a lot of the bigger picture decisions. I mean, obviously, Jeff Bezos has some crosshairs painted on the back of his head as far as the American regime is concerned, and that may change with the election. Who knows? But there's an obvious thing going on there. Facebook is interesting, what you're just saying. Google clearly is, frankly, in any normal sense of the word, a monopoly, and probably should, in that sense, have been broken up via antitrust legislation a decade ago. So I think that's got crosshairs on it. So I think in the end, what's interesting to me is somebody who's way outside the US but uses these platforms and has to, because there's no such thing as platform-free selling either, right? We're all on platforms of some kind or the other. Then we are going to have to see what the US domestic government's approach is and set our cap accordingly to what's going to then drive those companies' managements, which is then going to be the driver behind what happens. And that's the marketplace we're going to end up looking at. So I think there's quite complex things to analyze. And it could get too speculative, but I think it is important to keep the big picture in mind, because a lot of these things are quite consistent and quite visible and predictable, but we don't know when or how much, but we can see it coming. And I think if we really see it coming, you can take advantage of it. So rather than a big picture response, what about you? What about cautionary tales that you would have about over-reliance on any of these marketplaces?
Well, I think it's a issue of risk versus reward. And, you know, I'm cognizant of the fact that just in the recent few weeks or months, Jet.com, which was a big marketplace, which was bought by Walmart, has been completely shut down. And I think it was ultimately like a Walmart strategy to just acquire the e-commerce team at Jet and then ultimately, you know, kill it. But they hired all the good staff. And then there's another platform, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Craftsy, was a big marketplace that was really pushing hard to do educational content sort of in the space of Etsy, which we haven't even talked about, which is an also a big marketplace. And they literally shuttered their doors last week or 2 weeks ago. And it left many sellers who had good, solid revenue streams from those platforms with like zero. I mean, you know, so I think that's some of the cautionary tale is you want to think through, okay, what would happen if this platform I'm on that I'm doing well with was vaporized or went bankrupt or was acquired and then shut down? And so you do want to think through, you know, for these various, you know, locations that you're working on, what's my fallback plan and how can I navigate these waters? And, you know, even I know it seems crazy, but you could look into the future and envision a future in which maybe Google wins. Maybe it destroys Amazon. Could you imagine? It'd be like Godzilla versus Mothra or something like that.
I
was like,
yeah, I can imagine it. I can imagine that. I think that there is a dominance that it has in its industry that is even greater than Amazon has in its industry. And some of the mood music that I've caught coming from Washington doesn't seem to mention Google very often. Facebook, obviously, they had Mark Zuckerberg in some congressional hearing or something like that. And Amazon, you know, has Jeff Bezos, who bought the Washington Post. And it is basically perceived as in great tension with the regime, although doesn't seem to have come to fruition yet. But maybe that's just down to COVID. But I think there are obvious movements. And you're right. I mean, just because Facebook's been massive, I mean, you know, Standard Oil was once massive. There, you can think of anything that was once just huge and now doesn't exist. I mean, you know, it's a bit like that poem by the British poet. My name is Ozymandias. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains as this statue of an ancient king in a desert, and there is nothing around him except this ancient statue. But once there was a mighty city. So that's a rather grandiose place to leave it. I think I'd love you to just reiterate as a takeaway for people your four questions or your four points, because I thought those were really intelligent. Would you mind just doing those again?
Good ending, I suppose. Yeah. The first question is the why question. Do you need to be on a marketplace? Or just sell on your own website, and you've got to answer that. There are pros and cons to both. The second question is the goal question. If it's profit as your goal, then you really got to answer the question, how do I make money, real money, through these platforms? Or is it maybe something else, like defending your leadership or just competing against a competitor that you want to take on? The third question is the ROI question, risk versus reward. How much opportunity is there in a new marketplace for you? And how much effort in terms of money and your personal time or your team's time are you going to have to pour into it to potentially reap that reward? Then the fourth question is a competition question. What are your competitors doing in these marketplaces? And how can you best play chess against them to engineer your success and to blunt their success? And yeah, those are the four questions.
I like it, man. This is great. Playing chess against Jeff Bezos, a scary idea, but nevertheless, that's kind of what we're engaged in. I love it. So the final thing I'd just like to say is, if you're listening to this, you, the beloved listener, we'd love you to subscribe, because if you're liking this content, we're going to go more and more in depth in all of these things. We've basically kind of scratched the surface on our eight sort of pillars of content, including sales channel, which is what we're discussing for the highest level. But we will be digging into very actionable detail. So stick around. We're going to be really busting a gut to serve you. I mean, I personally can only speak from Jason's knowledge is just vast. And if you can tap into that, I can say from experience as a coaching client in the past, that's really going to help you. So if nothing else, I have no qualms about saying that you really, really should be subscribing at this point if you're listening. And please, if you can do us a review, it just gives us a chance to know that we're actually on the right lines. Because the thing about podcasting is it's not like Facebook where you put a post out and you get 5,000 comments if you've got a big audience. So there isn't much of a feedback mechanism built into podcasting, and that is one of them. So we'd really, really love to get that from you. And final thing to say is a very, very big thank you for giving us your time and attention, which is one of the rarest things in this era.
That was the E-Commerce Leader podcast with Michael Veazey in London, England.
Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
We have two free guides on sales channels for you. A PDF on how to optimize your Amazon listing for 2020 by Michael, and a video interview by Jason's partner Kyle with a client on moving onto Walmart.com. For either guide, just go to www.theecommerceleader.com/channel. Thanks for listening.